Welcome to Freedom Loves Company on ProgressiveSpirit.net and JohnShuck.com. I'm John Shuck. Freedom Loves Company is broadcast live every Sunday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Revolution.radio Studio B and slightly edited for podcast and distribution through the Pacifica Radio Network.
If there was ever a war where there was a good side and bad side, this would be it. It's almost black and white. The government side is civilization. The other side is absolute barbarism. And actually, Ramsey Clark is one of my favorite quotes. Ramsey Clark wrote this, and I agree totally with it. The farmer Ramsey Clark. He said, "Syria is the last frontier between sanity and a balanced international community, a world ruled by the forces of right and reason and good, and the satanic desires of the evil and invisible lobbies which are currently in power in Washington and which in turn control the foreign policy of its allies." And now more than ever, he said that a number of years ago, but now more than ever, that is true.
And welcome to Freedom Loves Company. My name is John Shuck, and for the next 2 hours, I'll be your host. The first hour, I have a guest. And the second hour, I'm going to share some of my writing, some of the stuff I've put up with. Other people have had to put up with it. I just put it out there. Things that I've written since the COVID catastrophe, and see how my mind has changed. We'll see. We'll see what you think too. That's the second hour. That's from 9 to 10 Eastern. So, Freedom Loves Company is on every Sunday evening on Studio B. You're listening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, and we are exploring a wide variety of topics, particularly this, what do you call it? Apocalypse? I don't know. We'll have to have a name for it, some kind of thing. And my first guest will help in defining this. He is Mark Taliano, and he's from Hamilton, Ontario. He is a former high school teacher. He's an author, an activist, an independent investigative reporter, and a research associate with the Center for Research on Globalization, Global Research. You might know that website. He has a book called Voices of Syria that came out in 2016 or 17, and it's been updated just this March, second edition, and he combines, and he went to Syria to find out what's really going on. He kind of had an idea that what we were being told in the media was complete nonsense, criminal. And he went over there to see what was going on, and he came back with the voices of actual Syrian people to discuss that. So we're going to talk about Syria. We're going to talk about COVID in Canada and all over, but particularly in his location. And we're going to bring him on. Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am, John. Pleased to be speaking with you yet again.
Oh, glad to have you back. Mark Taliano was on my radio show when I was on KABU in Portland. He and Andrew Ashdown came on. We talked about Syria. That was a couple of years ago.
Yep. That's when the first book is Voices from Syria after my first visit during the war. And then I went two other times in 2018 and 2019, and I had the distinct displeasure of sleeping in Damascus when France and Washington-led coalition launched this cruise bomb on us.
You were
that
right there.
That was a false flag. I was right there. Horrifying.
No. And so you came back with, I'm sorry, I had to mistitle of your book. I said, I want to also give your website out, Voices from Syria. And you also have a second edition. And his website is marktaliano.net. Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah. Second edition with Basma Kadur, who is a Syrian reporter. She's there every day, living there every day, just like all Syrians are. And she's a senior reporter at the Syria Times. And so I just... the first book is in English and it's in German, and I just couldn't keep my mouth shut because I kept on learning so much, and I kept on, there were so many examples of the atrocities that our governments are committing in our name. I just couldn't keep my mouth shut and my pen down. So I, despite some hurdles and roadblocks, Basma and I updated the book. And it's in Arabic now too. I'm very proud of that. And proceeds to Syria. And it's on the PDF. The second edition PDF is at Global Research, and also on Kindle.
All right. Very good. So Voices from Syria. And your second edition, of course, has the author that you mentioned there, Basma Kadur.
Yes.
And anything including for different voices, was there a different things that happened that caused the second edition?
Well, it was an accumulation of confirming evidence that what was written about in the first edition was true. So we elaborated upon everything. We amplified everything with more concrete examples, on-the-ground examples, including from Reverend Ashdown and from Vanessa Bealey and Eva Bartlett and all sorts of sources just to confirm what has been happening, which is basically the opposite to what mainstream everything claims is happening.
All right,
that would include the elections too.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the elections. So let's catch people up and say, if you say, take a couple of minutes, take a few minutes and say, what is the basic situation? What do we got wrong about Syria? What does the mainstream media have wrong? Okay. And what's really going on there?
The mainstream media, here's one of the biggest lies. The mainstream media projects this absolutely ridiculous notion that everyone believes, which is that we engage in war for humanitarian reasons. That is beyond ludicrous, because our terrorists, the terrorists that we support, Al-Qaeda and ISIS and all their affiliates, bearing in mind Jeff, former ambassador to Syria, Jeffrey just finished admitting that he's on the same side as he's working with Al-Qaeda. I mean, they actually admit this, but they've admitted it all along, and they admitted it before the war. So the perceptions, the mainstream media, including the politicians, mainstream establishment, is projecting a totally, completely false image of what is really happening. What is really happening is U.S.-led empire is absolutely destroying a country and trying to. Well, it has in some measure succeeded, but Syria is winning and will win this one. But they destroyed Libya, Iraq, and so on. And that is their intent. That is their goal. And that is what they do. They bring nothing of benefit to any country that they invade. There's nothing humanitarian. It's anti-humanitarian. It's very satanic, in fact. Right now, they are occupying about 30% of the most resource-rich land. They are openly plundering the oil, burning the wheat fields. This, with the Caesar embargo, which is totally, completely legal, as are all of the war crimes, because the coalition was not invited into Syria. Their goal is to destroy, to create chaos, so that they can loot and plunder. I mean, there's nothing good about what empire is doing. And it's abysmal. It's satanic, really.
Well, what was it that four-star general Wesley Clark revealed that, seven countries in 5 years or something, and Syria was right on the list.
Oh, yeah. And they're working on Iran right now and Russia and China. It's just never ending. It's satanic. I'm sorry, but it is.
And now this began, 2011? Is that when it was? When this attack on Syria?
Anti-Christian, anti-Christian. Pardon?
I said this attack on Syria began in 2011. Am I right?
Initially 2011, but the plans were developing since at least 2005, even before. It's a very strategic location. It's on the Mediterranean. But there's no excuse for what's happening. It was well planned in advance. And I have on my website units for people who are interested in teaching the truth. And they have and included our admissions from all sorts of Western open sources, including, like you said, General Wesley Clark and many others. And we've added to that, to the list of Western open source that just admit exactly what they're doing, including what James Jeffrey just admitted to, which is, hey, we're on the same side as Al-Qaeda, but we've known that forever.
And you have.
And we're also on the same side as ISIS.
Right. That's what I wanted to get at. These guys, Daesh, Al Qaeda, Nusra. Yeah. I mean, these are basic terrorist mercenaries, right? Do you have documentation pretty much in regards to who these people are, who supposedly are on the side of freedom, but they're actually on the other side?
Yeah, it's well documented. Empires use these proxies. They use them in the former Yugoslavia. They use them in Libya. They totally destroyed that. I mean, Obama presents himself as liberal and peace-loving. That's ridiculous. I mean, they totally destroyed Libya, and now they have open-air slave markets for black. You know, like, it's ridiculous. They totally destroy countries so they can loot and plunder. If a country is totally disintegrated and in chaos with warring factions, then it's easy to just take what you want. That's what imperialists do. They don't give anything good. All they bring is barbarism against civilization, and Syria is one of the most ancient civilizations that we have, including the roots of Christianity are there. And the terrorists that we support, Al Qaeda, ISIS, they destroy Christian communities. They mass murder them, as well as government supporters and on, but they're sectarian. We support sectarian terrorists. It's abysmal and it's horrific. Go ahead.
Mark, so kind of a basic question again, who are these white helmets? They got an Academy Award for all of this stuff, but what are they made of?
They're, I did a Christian here and I did a tape on that with Eva Bartlett, who was on the ground investigating, Vanessa Bealey on the ground investigating, Reverend Ashdown on the ground investigating. Sorry, folks, they're Al-Qaeda. They're Al-Qaeda mop-up crew. That's their employer. That's who they are. They're intermingled with them. And the Canadian government supports them wholeheartedly, and Hollywood offers them awards. That's how perverse our culture has become, where white is black and black is white. And that's how the controllers, if you will, because they aren't our politicians. It goes higher than that. We're going to see that with COVID. The controllers, I like to use that word now, that's how they fabricate consent for the crimes against humanity and supreme international war crimes. It's just heinous.
And so, and they're involved in this false flag, which is a big deal at Duma, the white helmets and whatnot. They were part of the staging, as you understand it.
Oh yeah. Well, so on that, I was there, like I said, and I was sleeping in Damascus, beautiful Damascus. Well, on my first visit, we had to worry about terrorists from Duma sending, you know, launching gas canister bombs haphazardly on the population all the time, every day. They mass murdered about 11,000 people, crippled countless others. So that was scary to me, of course, because I'm not used to that. Syrians just walk like that's their daily life. But, I mean, it's a horrible way to conduct, to live, especially for kids. They're all traumatized. But anyway, that night there were these huge booms, and it was, I felt really afraid, but I also felt violated. I felt angry. I felt the anger that certainly a lot of Syrians share. And I interviewed a person, and this video is on Global Research, and it's also on YouTube and Vimeo. And the bombs came over. Fortunately, the damage was limited thanks to the air defenses. As per usual, ISIS benefited under the cover of the bombs. Strategically, it was useful to them. And I interviewed someone, and Syrians are steadfast and defiant and courageous, and they are standing strong against the imperialists, and they were very defiant after that. The ones that I spoke to, they were very defiant after that, because if there was ever a war where there was a good side and bad side, this would be it. It's almost black and white. The government side is civilization. The other side is absolute barbarism. And actually, Ramsey Clark, one of my favorite quotes, Ramsey Clark wrote this, and I agree totally with it. The former Ramsey Clark, he said, Syria is the last frontier between sanity and a balanced international community, a world ruled by the forces of right and reason and good, and the satanic desires of the evil and invisible lobbies, which are currently in power in Washington, and which in turn control the foreign policy of its allies. And now more than ever, he said that a number of years ago, but now more than ever, that is true.
I'm speaking with Mark Taliano. He is the author of Voices from Syria. His website is marktaliano.net. He's been in Syria, and he's written now two books, a second edition, on the situation in Syria, which, as you're hearing from Mark, is the exact opposite from what we get in the news constantly. And of course, and one of the big events that's just happened that I wouldn't have known about it had I not happened to follow Mark and Vanessa Beely and Eva Bartlett on Twitter, and that's election, and in which President Bashar al-Assad won in an election. Now, the West will say, well, this was a fixed thing, and Bashar is a butcher and all of that kind of stuff. So give us the facts on that.
Well, yeah, this is incredible. You imagine Western countries criticizing another country on elections?
We have a lot to say, huh?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Well, it's, yeah. Okay, so first of all, Syria is the most secular, pluralist country in the Middle East. It has been forever. Now, unfortunately, imperialists have brought sectarianism into the country, but it still remains that way. Syria was and is the most democratic country in the Middle East, and it remains so. And even prior to the elections, and we have no moral or legal justification criticizing their democracy when we don't even have democracy anymore. But anyway, before the election, on-the-ground videotapes showed a massive support, not only for President al-Assad, who has led this country through the war, but for the country itself and for what the country stands for. And it stands for victory over terrorism and victory over imperialism. And the footage from Eva Bartlett and Vanessa Beely, who are on the ground, is just phenomenal. I mean, no Western leader could ever garner that kind of support from their own people.
Yeah, it was an amazing video that I just saw that you had sent me there of a compilation of all different places throughout Syria of the massive numbers of people celebrating.
Yeah, and it's live video. It's not professional. A lot of it is not. It's just, well, it's the It's real live on the ground video recording. And this includes places that were previously occupied by Western supported terrorists, including Douma, where the alleged gas attack happened, which didn't happen because it was a false flag. And that's where President Assad voted. And that's where Johnny Achi voted. I can't pronounce the name right now, but he voted there. He's an American citizen. And he flew, but Syrian nationality, and I guess he was born in Syria, I'm not sure. But he flew all the way to Syria to vote, as did many others, because the so-called democratic West closed the embassies and didn't allow them to vote. So he flew all the way from the States, and Eva Bartlett interviewed him, and he showed how they vote and how they have to dip their thumb in ink to prove that the only voted once, and this was in Douma, which was previously terrorist occupied. So if anyone says, oh, they prefer living under terrorist rule, I'm sorry, they're wrong. The terrorist areas, Idlib, for example, is occupied and dominated by Al-Qaeda. It's extreme forms of Sharia law. They make no bones about it. There's signs in liberated Aleppo outside the city, for example, which openly denounce democracy. They make no secret of it. Occupied areas, they do not vote. That's not what they do. The people there, no doubt, a lot of them would love to vote. Like I said, in Douma, they were overjoyed to be liberated. And the testimony from Johnny Achi was there, and the videotapes. So that will dispel the myth that there's just some crazy, brutal dictator oppressing his people. The opposite is true. It's the terrorists that the West supports that are oppressing and killing Syrians.
Yeah, you know, and you saw where in Idlib, that's taken over by Al-Qaeda. I mean, the women are dressed head to toe in black, right? Whereas in the in Syria proper, that is run by the proper government, they're actually quite secular. They have, some have scarves, some do not.
Yeah, they dress in any way they want. That's their business. I mean, so, some have scarves and some don't. And, so but that, they don't dress from head to toe in black or head to toe covering. And there's actually signs on the road in Idlib. This is how you must dress. And I have an interview with Reverend Ash on, in fact, where there's signs in now liberated areas where it shows how women have to dress. And all you see of the flesh is their two eyes. And that's it. Sorry, folks. That's all you get.
Yeah, and so just an example of that is the example of that these really are the terrorists, this flipped upside down world. They're called the liberators.
Yeah, the world is upside down right now, absolutely. And we have people in North America who think of themselves as progressive and so on, and they think that Empire is doing such wonderful things. And it's just the perception, unfortunately, is just complete opposite to reality, and that's really tragic, actually.
And Bashar al-Assad, the election, wasn't just one candidate to vote for. I saw two other faces there running also.
Yeah, I actually met him briefly on my last trip there. And he's actually a doctor. He's an optometrist, okay?
Uh-huh.
And he presents, someone asks, well, what's he like? Is he like a goon or whatever? No, like he's a very gentle, intellectual, down-to-earth person. Like, he presents very well. He's very dignified. He's very well-spoken, extraordinarily intelligent, and gentle. And the people love him. Honest to God, they love him. And you can see from those videos that they do.
Yeah.
That they do love him.
And so what did the election mean, do you think, that he won by such a landslide?
Well, it meant that the Syrians are sick of terror, Western intrusions. They're sick of Western-supported terrorists, as anyone would be. They want their country back. It was before the war ranked among the top five safest countries in the world. They want their economy back. They don't want this economic embargo that is mass murdering them. They can't afford to get equipment renewed in their hospitals and so on. The biggest victims are children. In terrorist-controlled areas, the children don't go to school. They're trained to be terrorists. You know, they're wielding automatic rifles. The losses are tremendous. So it's more than just a vote for President Assad. It's a vote for the country. It's a vote for sovereignty. It's a vote for international, universal human rights that they deserve and that everyone deserves. And it's a vote to say to the imperialists, go home. Stop occupying, illegally bombing us. Stop illegally occupying our land, burning our wheat crops and stealing our oil and putting pictures on Facebook with soldiers occupying with their sniper rifles on Syrian territory. Nobody invited them in. The Russians were invited in, thank you very much. So were the Iranians. The resistance was invited in to defend this land. And I see this victory for Assad as a victory for every human on earth, because it is a victory for nation state sovereignty, and it is a victory for the rule of justice and the rule of international law. And Syrians see that too, and they have to live this every day. Right now, they're starving. Illegal, unilateral, coercive sanctions are starving them. They have the currency is being totally depreciated. They can't afford things, and the imperialists are burning their crops. I mean, it's just horrifying.
So, what do you see? Is this a positive shift now? This election, of course, but are they also? It seems to me that they're. The Bashar al-Assad, the Syrian army, is making ground, is making headway there in defeating them.
I'm not on the ground there, but I can feel it. I can feel it. They're on a roll. They've got powerful allies. They've got behind them justice and humanity. They know who they're fighting, and Syrians know who they're fighting. There's no question that they are on the side of theirs is the righteous force. Now that being said, that's 10 long years of war, but they're on a roll and they're not going to stop. That's my feeling. Yeah, that's my feeling on it. And actually, the resistance is more unified than ever. We saw that in Palestine recently. So I see this as a real positive development.
Well, we need more of those, don't we? You're right. I think it is a good comparison to make what was happening with Palestine and Hamas.
Yes.
Because it really is a lot of the same forces here. You've got Israel, the U.S., NATO, doing all of their basic land grabs and oppression. And then you've got the countries that, of course, are all labeled as bad from the West's perspective. What, Venezuela and Palestine, Gaza, Syria, Russia, China, actually on the side of the elected government there in Syria. And that's what people don't really get, do they? They don't realize that this is an elected government.
Yes, it is. Yep, it's an elected government. And there's not, I firmly believe there's no politician in the West that could ever garner that kind of support. They're out there with their fireworks. I think you saw the video celebrating before the election, during the election, and they're still celebrating, especially in areas that were liberated from the terrorists. These are the war isn't over, and the economic warfare continues. They're in a joyous state of mind, and so am I.
Well, now
so that's a positive development.
Positive. Okay, so my last question regarding this, and I give you time to offer any other information. But what is how about the Western media now? Is there anybody catching on to the truth? Are Eva and Vanessa and yourself and others making headway into? You got Dick Richard Black, right? He's a politician who understands what's going on.
Oh, he's phenomenal. He's just phenomenal. He has told the truth. He went there, He went there legally, like I did. He didn't sneak in through Turkey illegally, like some of these corporate media types do, who hang out with Al-Qaeda and ISIS. He went there legally, and he has done some wonderful reports where he writes the truth, and he is not afraid to write the truth, and thank God for that. And, but his reporting is stellar. So is Eva's, Eva Bartlett, Vanessa Beely, people who have been there, that I know, you know, really tell the truth. It's hard not to, although that's another matter. Because the media cartels do not tell the truth. And I don't follow the media cartels anymore because it makes me kind of nauseous, to be honest. And it's the same cartels that are waging psychological warfare on us with COVID right now, too. So it's a real negative force, these media cartels.
So, are there any politicians in Canada, or that are on the right side here?
I would hope that thinking right now, I can't think of any. Now, I hope there are, and maybe some have escaped me. But I know there's some people in Ireland, throughout the world. I mean, Canada, I really don't know. I'm so disgusted with what has happened to Canada, I really turn off the establishment media. I'm not aware of a political. I mean, I'm not. But they're going to have to change their narrative because otherwise, the lie that they are telling will be revealed bald face. So they're going to have to change their spin somehow, and maybe they're doing that. But I'm just not aware of that.
This is Freedom Loves Company. If you're just joining us, my name is John Shuck, and I'm speaking with Mark Taliano. MarkTaliano.net is the website. He's the author of Voices from Syria, and the second edition has just come out in March, in which he's gone to Syria, gets the story on the ground, which is quite different, quite 180-degree different from the story in the Western and mainstream media. And we're also going to change focus. You tell me if there's more to say about Syria, but I want to change focus. Also want to talk to you about the COVID and what's going on. You write for Global Research, and you've done a lot of research on this with the vaccinations. And Canada, what's the situation in Canada with COVID? Are you still under lockdown?
So we're in the worst area right now. But it is a dictatorship, and I'll tell you why. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, even before COVID, Constitutional Rocco Galati claimed it was a dictatorship, a peaceful dictatorship. I mean, not all dictatorships are violent. But this is a dictatorship because the corrupt politicians in this, in Ontario, for example, Ford, for example, they are ruling underneath the umbrella of emergency. For example, just like after the 9/11 false flag. So they are ruling by diktat. They have the, and it is absolutely a dictatorship. I mean, I went for, well, here's one small example. We do have a constitution in Canada. We do have Bill of Rights. We do have Charter of Rights and Freedom, but they're totally denied and negated. I, for example, we were trying to exercise our freedom in Hamilton, Ontario, in front of City Hall. And we did that for a period of time, and I was, and one occasion, and the police would shut it down every time. We had to go mobile, and then it was embarrassing because police vans were following us all over. And I know some of these police, and they're nice people, but it's the same old thing. You know, I'm doing my job, but they're, I would argue they're breaking their oath as well. And some people, some police officers do object to this, and there is a site on the website for that. But anyway, I was fined almost $2,000 for standing in front of City Hall. That's not democracy, folks. Sorry. No. I mean, we were there very peacefully and trying to tell the truth the way we saw the truth and the way we see the truth. And when you have police officers and fining you under this emergency measures legislation, and that's just wrong, and that's what dictatorships are like, and that's what a dictatorship is. And we are living in a dictatorship. If you, depending on the zone or whatever phase we're in, you have to go home or you can't do this, that, they make it intentionally confusing. But the bottom line is they are preventing us from peacefully assembling. And the reason is not COVID, because COVID is a low infection fatality rate. Some people argue it hasn't been isolated, replicated, purified. But apart from that, Dr. Ioannidis and others, and even the CDC, and even the World Health Organization will admit and do admit and have admitted from the beginning, amidst the clouds of confusion, intentional confusion, psychological warfare, that it's a low infection fatality rate virus. It's in line with the flu. And they have stated this. The WHO has stated this. The CDC has stated this. But then the media cartels get a hold of the messaging and distort and destroy it. The database for COVID is junk data. The Drosten protocols, which were used and are used by the World Health Organization, use this RT-PCR test that is not fit for purpose. It doesn't work. The inventor, Kerry Mullis, the late Kerry Mullis, admitted this. It picks up viral fragments. It doesn't specify if it's COVID or another respiratory illness. The tests are not validated. They are not specific. The amplification threshold was 35 or so, according to the WHO, and then the WHO retracted itself 12 months later. Well, all the data is junk. So we're talking about a huge crime here, and in the because financial interest, this started at the World Economic Forum, which partnered with the World Health Organization. Financial interests engineered this whole thing, and they are profiting from the induced destruction of our economy. This is like war on us without the military, foreign militaries coming in. They're destroying our rights and they're destroying our economy. And some people say, well, why would they do that? Well, there's a lot of money to be made if you're selling vaccines, which they're actually experimental injections. And there's a lot of money to be made if you destroy the economy and then pick up the pieces for $0 or with government subsidies, negative dollars. Okay, like the airlines are going broke and so on. And there's also a lot of money to be made when the government spends all this money on CERB payments, and when the government spends all this money on these experimental injections, and when the government has all this debt accumulated. There's a lot of money to be made by international bankers who are going to move in with structural adjustment programs, just like they do when they're colonizing other nations. And they are going to dictate exactly what we can and cannot do with the money. The politicians will be nothing more than props. They're already like that. So the international bankers, the creditors, the speculators, they are going to win. They are winning. The billionaires, the number of billionaires has grown exponentially. But the real economy is being destroyed. The productive economy is being destroyed. And the impoverishment is going to be far more widespread. And that is part of where the crime is. And also now we see that these injections are dangerous. Vaccine adverse event reporting system and makes note of 5,000 deaths and many, many more injuries. And the European database is talking over 12,000 deaths and many, many injuries. And those numbers, by many accounts, are underrepresented.
I think it was the video that you showed, wasn't it? I think I saw it there, or saw it somewhere, of the number of deaths that had happened when they released the swine flu vaccine. They had, like, injected 45 million people, and they had, like, less than 50 deaths, and they pulled it from
that.
They pulled it,
and isn't that interesting? And now, why aren't they pulling it? They aren't pulling this one because they don't have to, because they declared, they meaning the World Health Organization on the heels of the World Economic Forum, declared an emergency. And that has impacted the entire globe. This is unprecedented calamity that will unfold over the years. So many nations, 190 maybe, went under lockdown and so on under this fake pretext of a pandemic. They even changed prior to the swine flu the definition of pandemic to exclude mortality rates, okay? Because COVID, whatever this thing is, which includes an umbrella of symptoms, is not very fatal at all, okay? It's in line with the flu in terms of fatality or mortality and morbidity. And the World Health Organization and CDC admit this. So the billionaire class is growing, but the real economy is suffering. And isn't this a common thing? And the poverty will be widespread. And not every country, for example, in India and so forth, they don't all have CERB payments, government payouts. So if their business is closed down, how do you feed your kids? You don't. And there are famines, reported famines and so on. But, so in this Chasudasky ebook, which is fantastic, he has a timeline. I think timelines are important. On January 30th, 2020, USA had 5 cases. And I put cases in quotation marks because cases typically in establishment media means absolutely nothing because the PCR test is invalid, okay? But they had 5 cases. Canada had 3. Oh, boy. France had 4. Germany had 4. Okay, this is January 30th, 2020, when the WHO declared a worldwide public health emergency. Does that sound like a worldwide public health emergency to you? It doesn't sound like one to me. And then the WHO defined this so-called pandemic. It's right there, similar to seasonal influenza. I remember when this started, because I knew something was up. And I knew we were in trouble. But Vanessa Beely put out a post. Chris Whitty in the UK admitted publicly what the World Health Organization admitted, which was it is a low infection fatality rate virus. I knew we were in trouble then because they were closing everything down for nothing. Now, in February, the COVID crisis followed by major crash of financial markets. And that's where the speculators made a whole whack of money. But they didn't help the real economy at all. In other words, the World Economic Forum was going through these agenda, whatever you call them, these plans of scenarios. Before this crash, even they were developing vaccine or what they called vaccines before this announcement of public health emergency of international concern. All these plans were there in the working, and speculators were aware of this. Okay, billionaire class grew. People make money like the financial class can make money from crashes, hedge funds, derivatives, and so on. So there was, Chasidowski argues that there was evidence of financial fraud. Yeah, I would say so. March 11th, 2020, the WHO officially declares a worldwide pandemic. 44,279 cases and 1,440 deaths outside of China out of a population of 6.4 billion people. Confinement and lockdown to 193 member states of the UN. Now, bear in mind also, yeah, okay, I think we talked about the vaccines. They would have been pulled a long time except for this emergency that was declared. That's why they did declare this global emergency, so that they could proceed with their life-destroying plans.
Do you think this vaccine is really the goal of this mandatory?
That's a big part of it, because these experimental injections, and they are experimental, and I have proof of that, that they're more than just injections. And we tried to get Sadaf Galani on here, and she did an excellent paper on that. Their efficacy is like very, very low.
Yeah, I'm going to get her on in a week or so.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, she's done some great. She's actually an MD. MDs, are, if they speak out publicly, I have this in one of the videos that Christian and I did. They are like the physicians group says, if you speak publicly about this and contradict the lockdown messaging, you will be expect discipline, okay? Yeah. So that's why these doctors are, you know, and they lose privileges and so on and so forth. They are disciplined. And the teachers, you might wonder, why are the teachers buying into this? Well, the teachers union, Ontario Teachers Union, is partnered with the World Economic Forum. Okay, so the cancer runs deep, unfortunately.
Yeah, and the censorship is just off the wall. It's incredible. Oh, so okay. I mean, I have no idea. You know, I get back and forth. People are about whether it was a virus, whether it was a, you know, like Kevin Barrett has been on. He talks that it was really a bio attack on China. That isn't all it was, obviously. Then the lockdowns as well are another part of the attack. But I don't know any of this exactly. I can't really say for one thing what it really is. And I don't even know what it means to say what the virus is isolated or not or whatever. But the censorship, you know, you're not being told the truth when they just silence all of these voices and deplatform people. You and I are both banned on Facebook. Oh. I finally they graciously allowed me back in yesterday. But really, yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's horrible. Yeah.
So, okay. Go ahead.
But the weapons are these vaccines. Now, it's not are these experimental injections. First of all, that's a violation of Nuremberg codes. Okay. You can't coerce people to take experimental injections. They tried that in Nazi Germany. They did it in Nazi Germany, and they were punished for that. And this doctor, I can't pronounce the name, McCulloch, He cannot recommend. In light of the statistics that I gave you from VAERS and from Europe, with all these deaths, he cannot, in all honesty, recommend these injections to his patients anymore. And kudos to him for having the courage to stand up. And I wish more doctors would. But I understand their discipline if they do. But you know, like, where does it end? And how many deaths are we going to tolerate? Some of the people running this operation have said we want to make humans digital platforms. Dr. Kerry Madej is talking about transhumanism. These are experimental gene editing, gene modifying injections. We don't know the long-term. It's impossible to know the long-term consequences. We know some of the short-term ones. But some of these billionaires have talked openly about transhumanism. And this psychological warfare is to coerce people into getting these things so we can be tracked and traced, so the apparatus can be strengthened. Because what we're... Nobody elected the people in the World Economic Forum or the people at the World Health Organization to run a global totalitarian operation. And that is what they are doing. That is one of the end goals. Yeah, New World Order. That's it.
It certainly has nothing to do with health and medical. It's that is a biggest fiction as hijackers brought down the World Trade Center.
Anti-health.
Yeah, it's about control. Who's in control, yeah, and exactly what kind of things are next are hard to know. And then, of course, you're also pounded by disinformation in all kinds of different places to chase rabbits all over where they aren't. So it's hard to get a handle on what really is unfolding. But certainly, one thing that's certainly unfolding is this division. Now we're dividing people up as to whether they've had the shot or not. And you see people, this guy in California, it's like the Hunger Games. What is he's having these lotteries. If you get a vax, you can win up to $10 million in this.
That should be a red flag to everybody.
Shouldn't it? I mean, I thought vaccines really used to be, no matter what you're doing, if it was a health matter, of course and we know that. So it's just a big spectacle of crazy.
Yeah, it's a spectacle of crazy covering the largest redistribution of global wealth in world history. This is from Chassidosky, accompanied by a process of worldwide impoverishment. Personally, I know Fauci is involved in that gain of research. I know he used the tax dollars for that. I suspect it was all illegal. I mean, I personally think he should be tried and put behind bars, as should so many others. But I also am aware that Empire wants war with China and has for decades. Pilger has written, he did a documentary on that. And I think that the Wuhan story is just story B to distract from the real issue. And the real issue is we do not have a killer virus. There is no logical reason for us to be locked down. And we know who's benefiting from it. And it is not you and it is not me. And it certainly is not the... you're a pastor, I understand. It certainly is not helping you to conduct church services, and it's not helping me to exercise or anyone to exercise our freedoms and rights, which we are losing.
We are losing, and I'm not actually a pastor any longer, but I had been. My position ended actually before COVID. Part of me is glad it did. Part of me, I'm not really sure. But yeah, the churches are just, they caved in, basically. Not all of them, many of the denominational ones have just rolled right over and said,
really?
Yeah, you do. We are, they haven't even opened up. And when they open up, they're going to be, you know, say, well, you have to keep track of everybody who's come in, where they sat, when they sat, you know, make sure they're all maxed and vaxed and sent reported to the authorities. You know, and I know in your area, there have been some pastors who really boldly, Henry Hildebrand, is that his name?
Yes, remarkable fellow. I met him at in Ottawa. He's done a remarkable job fighting the repression. Thank God for him and others. And they are really facing huge, they're being jailed, and they are facing huge, unreasonable repression from the police state. That's what we've got.
It is. Now, yeah. Okay, so we're in big trouble. Now, how are we doing in terms of resistance? We're also being sidelined and deplatformed and shoved to the edge. I wonder how much more oppression is going to come that way for people who do find the courage to speak out. I am impressed the number of doctors I'm finding in a lot of different venues are finding their voice.
Thank God for them, I'm really disappointed. When I hear of doctors parroting the COVID line, because these injections are dangerous, but they also lead to dangerous totalitarianism and vaccine passports, which is apartheid, and absolute curtailment of our freedoms and derogation of any vestiges of democracy. And they did it without rolling the tanks through the streets, apart from our own tanks.
Yeah, they did it without firing a shot, essentially. They just a psyop. We got us scared of our own selves and scared of each other. It really is a mind op on us to
absolutely
traumatize us.
People are reporting on each other. If people like myself, if I am doing something that someone else perceives to be a health hazard, like, for example, if I'm doing healthy things, I can be reported, okay? So, for example, I do martial arts, and, I'm not going to get into specifics here, but for any activity, people, all you have to do is have one person report you, and it happens all the time, and then the event is closed down. It is a police state. That's how they operate. That's how police states operate. There's nothing new about this. The imperialists have been doing this for so long, they're quite good at it.
Yeah. We just kept fooling ourselves that it couldn't happen to us, that is, Western nations.
Did. Yeah, it did. It's happening. And the economies, oh, my God, they're totally destroying the economies. How many people, you could probably fit the perpetrators of this crime at the World Economic Forum and so on into a large room.
Okay, let's go there. Who, if you don't mind naming, who are the big players? Who needs to be coming in for questioning?
Well, the World Economic Forum itself is a public-private organization, and nobody elected them. And the World Health Organization is partnered with them, and nobody elected them. I didn't. But everyone donates to them, like Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and Klaus Schwab. I didn't elect him to run the world. I bought his book, but I couldn't get past the first page because it's just horrible. I mean, I can't handle reading that stuff. But these people are running the world, and they want to run it even more. So we're talking the billionaires, the politicians, including Canadian politicians who hang out at the World Economic Forum. We're talking Wall Street. We're talking Big Pharma. Okay, Big Pharma is not liable for any of the injuries, none whatsoever. And I mean, there's a tape of Bill Gates saying, "Yeah, on one vaccine, you can make $20 for every $1 invested." Okay, so Big Pharma is taking our tax dollars to make experimental injections that are unsafe and unhealthy.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So we have these cartels, we have all these cartels dictating to the West, and they're concentrated in the concentration and representation representative of them would be at the World Economic Forum as it partners with all these global institutions.
So do you think this was planned out a long time, or do you think it's kind of a piecemeal thing that this caught on to that? Do you think there's an end game, or do you think there's... I have a hunch that they're still pretty sloppy, and they could be beaten, and I think they're scared. They're scared of people like you, and Eva Bartlett, and Vanessa Bealey, and the people who are brave and are getting out there and talking about it, and I think we can win, Mark. I think it's certainly David versus Megatron, but nonetheless, I think that they're scared of people learning and getting together and talking, and that's exactly what we have to do regardless of risk, don't you think?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think you're right. This could come tumbling down, because if you look at where I am right now in Ontario, it's lockdown. Everyone's afraid of each other. I went to a nursery the other day. I couldn't go in because you have to wear a mask. I watched the protocol. I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone. But Indianapolis 500, where is that? Indianapolis, how far away is that from us?
Indianapolis?
Wasn't there a big car race?
800 miles, yeah, from you.
800 miles. And that was packed full. Okay? So there's hope.
Right.
Some of these states, especially like Texas. On the other hand, Texas, they're still playing this apartheid game. Oh, you guys can go ahead to that show or game as long as you've had your vaccines.
Yeah. It's nuts.
Yeah, there's hope. There is hope.
But Mark, we're out of time. So tell me the name of that book that you had from Michelle Chasidovsky.
Okay. Michelle Chasidovsky ebook is free. It's a long title. You might have to shorten that one day. It's called 2020-21 Worldwide Corona Crisis, Destroying Civil Society, Engineered Economic Depression, Global Coup d'Etat, and a Great Reset. And it's full of very important information and documentation.
Okay, and he's, of course, the creator of, I believe, the creator, is that the right word, of Global Research. Center for Research on Globalization or Global Research, where you also write. And you also have a book out that people should get, as well as the second edition, Voices from Syria, and Voices from Syria, second edition, who is also co-authored with Syrian journalist Basma Kadur, and about the Syrian thing. And your website is marktaliano.net. Anything else?
No, that's great. And let's hope for victory against this totalitarianism.
Absolutely, on all levels. I appreciate you. Appreciate being a warrior with you, Mark. And thank you for all you're doing. And you can follow. All right, follow Mark. You bet. Follow Mark Taliano on Twitter. Again, his website is marktaliano.net. You have been listening to Freedom Loves Company on ProgressiveSpirit.net. This broadcast originally aired live on Revolution Radio. It has been slightly edited for distribution to radio stations, including the Pacifica Radio Network. Catch Freedom Loves Company live every Sunday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Revolution.radio Studio B. Find podcasts at ProgressiveSpirit.net and JohnShuck.com. I'm John Shuck. Be well.